Omaha Public Radio presents a special program on Noon Forum. We'll hear a talk by Tim Miles, the head men's basketball coach at the University of Nebraska at Lincoln. Mr. Miles' remarks were given as the keynote address at the 81st Nebraska Broadcasters Association Convention. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Wednesday afternoon, August 12, 2015, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of the Nebraska Broadcasters Association, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. A proven program builder who has enjoyed success at the Division I, Division II, and NAIA levels, Tim Miles was named the 27th basketball coach at the University of Nebraska on March 24, 2012. For Miles, the opportunity to coach in the Big Ten and the new facilities for Nebraska basketball, including the Hendricks Training Complex and the Pinnacle Bank Arena, puts the Husker basketball program in position for success. Miles' energetic personality has spurred unprecedented fan interest in the Husker program. While establishing a tradition of winning in college basketball, Miles' philosophy extends far beyond the basketball court. He and his staff are committed to academics and the success of their student-athletes in the classroom. A native of Dolan, South Dakota, he graduated from the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota in 1989 and earned a master's degree in health and physical education from Northern State in Aberdeen, South Dakota in 1990. He was inducted into the University of Mary Athletic Hall of Fame in 2007. Miles and his wife, Carrie, have one daughter, Ava, and one son, Gabriel. Here now to introduce the program is Jim Timm, President and Executive Director of the Nebraska Broadcasters Association.
In a moment, I'm going to introduce Jason Effinger, who is our chairman of the NBA Board of Directors. He'll have a few brief announcements before Coach Miles takes the microphone. Jason oversees media and technology for all broadcast markets and digital operations for Gray Television, which is headquartered in Atlanta. This includes the Nebraska News Network of stations, including WWT Omaha, KOLN Lincoln, KGIN Grand Island, KSNB Hastings, KNOP, KNPL, and KIIX North Platte, and KSTF in Scotts Bluff. Jason began in the broadcast industry 25 years ago and has held various leadership positions in news, operations, and station management in Wisconsin, Texas, Kansas, and now Nebraska. In addition to serving on the NBA Board of Directors for many years, Jason has been active in the broadcasting associations of those other states throughout his career as well. Jason is married to a wonderful woman and recently retired broadcaster, Charlie, and together they have four kids. Now, before I call Jason forward, I need to make a bit of a disclaimer about our guest speaker this afternoon. After the university confirmed that Coach Miles was available to speak to us today, I said, well, what kind of business-related topics does he like to talk about? Do you need some possible themes? And with Coach Miles being Coach Miles, the reply that I got back was, and I quote, Jim, as for a topic, there really isn't one. Ha ha. It's often best to leave it open, as that's how Tim works best, and I have no doubt. So on that note, I'd like NBA Chairman Jason Effinger to come forward to introduce today's keynote luncheon speaker. Jason?
Thanks, Jim. Welcome, everyone, to the 81st Annual Convention and this exciting keynote luncheon speaker. I also want to thank our sponsors for the luncheon, Husker Sports Marketing and TV stations KOLN, KGIN, KSNB, KNOP, KIIX, and KNPL. We do appreciate your support. Thank you very much. Given Coach Miles' popularity here in Nebraska and the tremendous performance of the Nebraska men's basketball team, reading his typical bio might be somewhat of a boring introduction. His detailed bio is in the program on page 40, so please read that when you get a chance. So, before Tim came here, the Iron N, the Nebraska student cheering section, was searching for someone to take over the role of sports director when they stumbled upon an application with a familiar name. Coach Tim Miles had submitted his own application declaring his intention to lead the Iron N. Unfortunately, he submitted his entry 48 hours after the deadline, and he didn't get a response. Miles says at the time, if you read the application, I'm clearly qualified. I go above and beyond the call. better than the cat they got now, and I promise you that I'll go one-on-one with him right now when it comes to Husker love. I got a couple of excerpts from that application. I've been to every Husker game, home and away, for the last 2 years. I haven't missed a single one. I even sneak into the arena and locker room hours before the game because I never have a ticket, and I want to save my front row seat. Some say I'm obsessed. I say, that's why I'm the right man for the job. At the games, I spend much of my time yelling, jumping, and waving my arms. When I get really excited, I'm all fists of fury, which is why I own 2 copper fit elbow sleeves. And that's not dedication. It just doesn't exist without those sleeves. But I also think outside the box, for example. I sat on no-sit Sunday on 2 separate occasions. Lastly, I have a very open relationship with the referees. In 20 years, I've only been asked to leave one time. Coincidentally, that's the only time they didn't agree with me either. So with that, I have no doubt the next 30 minutes or so will be very entertaining. Please give Tim Miles a warm Nebraska broadcaster's welcome.
Oh, this is a great setup. You know, first of all, it's my first day in the NBA, so feeling pretty good. I didn't realize it was the Nebraska Broadcasters Association until I got here, but that's how they set me up for this stuff, you know. Like, yeah, I'll go. NBA, I'll go. I'll talk to them, you know. So I'm surrounded by Wisconsin people over here, so if I smell like cheese and old-style beer, you'll know why. That application was honest. I don't know how we lost 9 in a row. It only took me 2 days to write. You need some of those reprieves as you go through the year. But I am definitely qualified for that job, and unfortunately, I just missed the deadline. So I'll try it again this year and see if we can get in, although they've pre-hired because of that, deal. They pre-hired the next guy already. So I'm going to have to wait another year, but I've got it in my calendar. I was when to apply. But thank you for letting me come. Brett Sapp, my snarky little emailer who said that Tim just goes in, could go a lot of directions with his talk. I think it might be because of the ADHD or the whatever I've got going on here that's unmedicated. I medicate myself a lot of ways, but not properly. My dad taught me that. So it's in my DNA. It's not my fault, man. That's what my players say all the time, so I figure I'd adopt it too. But I always say, usually our deal is like a Seinfeld episode. You know, afterwards they say, what was it about? Nobody can really identify a topic or anything, but it was remotely amusing, and everybody seems to have a nice time. So hopefully that's what we can do in 30 minutes without the commercials. I've also been told directly that this will be rebroadcast, which I think is more of a jab at some of the things I'll say that are entirely inappropriate almost all of the time. So I'm going to be on my best behavior today. It's really fun to be with the broadcasters. My parents grew up, owned a weekly newspaper, of course. So I've been around media types my whole life, and being in college basketball and college coaching and a head coach for my 21st season, I've had to deal with a lot of different broadcasters. Some guys were phenomenal and great. Some guys weren't. And so, it was it's always interesting. But, a broadcaster, like I was saying earlier, you can't believe how many people that we get that say they want to watch the game on the Big Ten Network and listen to the game, that our broadcaster, Kent Pavelka, does. Is Kent here, by the way? Or has he been evicted from the – I don't see him. I would hear him, I know. I would see his red glasses shining. So we ran him out of here. I'll get him organized. We'll get him back for you. But if you want him, if you don't, I'll just pretend like I didn't know anything. You know, Kent does such a phenomenal job. Matt Davison is passable. But, I mean, come on. He made one catch. The cat made one catch. I mean, so Westerkamp is catching that stuff behind his back now. I mean, like, he wouldn't even be the third string guy anymore. You know, I mean, we've advanced this thing. Tom's not there. We actually throw it down the field. We just don't trample you. You know, I mean, so it's a different day and age, but good for Matt. I'm glad he's made a life of it. And, I'm going to make sure he listens to this too, by the way. You know, it's really a blessing, but my parents are 89 and 85 and they love listening to games. My dad still listens to St. Louis Cardinal games. We used to listen to Jack Buck, even Harry Carey in Dolan, South Dakota. And Dolan's a great town to grow up in. I mean, it's this little town, Hubert H. Humphrey, Vice President of the United States, four military generals, Dennis and Dwight Kozlowski both wrestled in the Olympics, Danny medaled in Barcelona and Spain, Barcelona and Spain, of course, and Spain's on my mind, and Seoul. He got a bronze and a silver. And, you know, then there's you know, schmucks like me that come out of there. And basically, like, I graduated number 7 in my class, and there was 13 of us. So if there wasn't guys like me, there wouldn't be an upper half of the class. And so they can thank me for getting into the Votex and everywhere else that they went to and the schools that they went to, because we talk about the skills that I have, you know. I met a superintendent one time when I was assistant coach, and he was also the basketball coach at Westbrook Walnut Grove. His name was Steve Chernus. And Steve said, you know, I said, Steve, how's the game going to be on Friday? And because he had a whole bunch of good small college recruits on his team, he goes, it's going to be great. We're going to win easy. I'm like, well, how can you say that, you know, with such confidence? And he said, well, their coach is a PE teacher. And in the past, they've had a whole bunch of guys, real talent. And PE teachers don't just roll the ball out, stand there, free open play, let them go. And they don't have talent. We're going to beat them. And I said, what about next Tuesday? You know, he goes, oh, we've got a math teacher, and they're going to run flex. It's just going to be point A, point B, point. So they'll hang around the game for a while. Then we'll switch up defenses later, you know, and go from there. I said, well, what about the next Friday? And he said, I have no idea. I said, well, how can you have such confidence on Friday and Tuesday, but then the next week you just have no idea? He goes, well, we're playing this, you know, Slayton, and the guy's an elementary ed teacher. Who knows? They're going to, you know, they throw paint against the wall and call it a lesson plan, you know? And, of course, I majored in elementary ed, you know, because I couldn't do the math. So so sometimes if you see us just throwing paint against the wall out there, you know, at timeouts, you'll know why. We're trying to figure it out in our own special way. But there's something special about elementary ed majors when it comes to college male athletes, which is we're perfectly prepared. You know, third graders and 18-year-old male athletes, I mean, there's not a hell of a lot of difference, okay? It's just, like, usually our guys don't pick their nose and wipe it on the guy next to them, usually. That's the only discernible thing I've been able to come up with in 25 years or whatever. So, it's, you know, it's fun to be from a town like Dolan, where, you know, your mom would wake you up in the morning and say, be home at dinner, you know, supper, whatever you want to call it. What did we just have, supper or dinner? What do we call it in Nebraska? We call it lunch. There we go. So that's a new one. Wow. And what do we call it later? Okay, I got about 20% back there still doing the supper deal. So grew up on a farm, right? Okay, there you go. Not me. I was not tough enough. But, you know, it was funny how my mom, you know, how your parents usually give you great advice. My mom's given me advice that I can remember twice in my life. And I love my mom. I mean, and I know she loves me. Like, she's stuck. And so, but she gave me advice. And the one was, my mom was very witty and very sharp. Like one time I told her I was going to run away. And she says, well, the train's, you got 15 minutes for the train to go through town. So I'll get you lunch, you pack your bag, and then you got to hustle because it only slows down a little. But she, the one bit of advice besides that she gave me was because Dolan was small and Tim be home by dinner, supper, and lunch was on my own. And because we had the weekly newspaper, we had the payment in kind stuff. I don't know. You guys probably are smart enough not to do that anymore, where, like, you buy $500 of advertising, and now I get to go buy $500 of groceries. Or we go to the cafe and get $200 of whatever and go from there. So you know, we did that. That's how I'd have lunch. So I'd go order lunch, side of fries, and don't cook them too long. You know, and I'm eight. And the lady's looking at me like, listen, you little jerk. you'll get them the way I like them, okay, and when I like them. So, you know, I grew up, and I've had heart surgery four times, but don't worry about that, Mom. The one thing is we had a United States Highway. Highway 212 runs from Minnesota to Wyoming, and there is one stoplight in that 480 miles or whatever it is, you know, the length of South Dakota. And it's not Dolan, of course, right? So really, it goes from 65 down to 50, and Highway 212 splits Dolan in half, the north and south half. So it's right in the middle of town, you know, and it slows down to 50 miles per hour. And Mom used to tell me all the time, whatever you do, you know, I want you to walk your bike across the highway. And, you know, that never made sense to me. Like, Mom, if the semi's coming at me at 55, wouldn't you want me on the bike going faster? You know, like trying to gauge it? Because if I'm walking, yeah, I can stop quicker, but I'm still in the middle of the road. And I think this is a bad spot to be. And she just never really responded to that. Because I think she loved her son so much. I think she's trying to kill me, folks. She served me six-month-old mayo last time I was at her apartment in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. That's definitely trying to kill me. Well, it was Miracle Whip, so whatever product it was. You know, it's not like Dorothy Lynch or anything like that. That's Husker Sports Network right there. But anyhow, so, you know, she certainly tried to kill me. The other thing she gave me is when I started coaching at Colorado State, I started with all 13 scholarships that were accounted for. And that was in, I took the job April 1st. And let me just give you some advice if you ever take a new job. Don't take it April 1st. That's April Fool's Day. See, you get it? Over here, this side didn't even laugh. Yeah, there we go. Because the joke's on you, right? So I took the job. My first year, we were 0-16 in the league, 7-25. Next year, 9-22. 25% of all my career losses, and I've been beat a lot, right, happened in those two seasons, right? 0-16, 4-12 in the league. I mean, you know, I'm not going to go to any record like in the Mountain West. I said when I got there, we're going to set records. And they didn't think I was going to do it right away out of the chute. And they were historically bad records, you know. But, you know, when I got the job, all 13 scholarships were accounted for. And just so you guys know, and I know you already know this, you know, don't believe anything you read in the paper. Because, and the newspaper guys aren't asking me to talk to them, so we can slam them all day long, right? Right. And we own the newspaper, so I know that business better than anything. So anyhow, so it says, the headline said, Miles returns most talent in the Mountain West. You know who's in the Mountain West? Utah, BYU, UNLV, the runner up, New Mexico, San Diego State, right? But yet we have more talent than all those guys. That's what the paper said, okay? Now this is going in to the 16-59 or whatever the hell it was record that I'm about to have, right? So we get there, and immediately, you know, Mom hasn't given me the advice yet, by the way. They, you know, we have 2 6 a.m. workouts, three guys line up, quit, all from California. Not that I have anything against California people. Hope the earthquake doesn't hit them too hard too soon. But anyhow, at least those three guys. But they quit. Then we had, you know, a couple felonies. You know, the old identity theft trick. And then the one where, you know, they had a party and they drank all day. And then they smoked weed all night. And then they went back for more booze. And one guy said to the other guy, I got to get up tomorrow. I'm going to go home. I want to go to church. Hard to blame him. So, you know, a little, you know, feeling better about yourself by Monday type of thing after a, you know, star-studded weekend. But But the other guy said, man, what are you doing? There ain't no God, you know. So now they're having a philosophical discussion on a higher power, and to which the other guy, who's about to have a felony committed on him, says, man, you were raised wrong. And that apparently was enough to draw a .38 revolver, pointed at his head, and fired into the couch three times. So we got a dead couch. And you can do anything you want in Colorado. You can smoke weed, you can do all that, but you cannot kill your couch. That's a felony. So I mean, literally, we're in our team meeting on Monday, and it's a little tenuous, and I don't know why, because I've been gone all weekend, and he hasn't been arrested yet. So as the cops arrest Ronnie, or Xavier, whatever his name is, now I get it, that, you know, chemistry is not a strong point for our team. See, we pulled a gun on each other, and they pointed it at their head, loaded. So so then we got some guys that quit, and another misdemeanor slash close to a felony pled down. And, you know, now we got two guys left on the team, okay? And my mom, and they're both 7 feet, and one didn't play in any games the year before, which they were 13 and 19. And the other one played in all the games, and he was actually decent. And he's going to graduate, too. Two really unknown concepts to what I was dealing with at that point in time. And this had been from April through July. April, May, June, 3 months on the frickin' job. 4 months, and this is what we've dealt with right away. And so my mom says, Timmy, my precious son. You know, my grandmother had 36 grandchildren, 18 granddaughters, 18 grandsons. And my grandmother would say to me all the time, Timmy, I love you so much because you're my favorite brown-eyed grandson. Oh, I'd walk out of there, you know, Grandma. I mean, I'm the best brown-eyed grandson. Well, about 5 years later, my brother tells me, you know, dummy, you're the only brown-eyed grandson. That's why she says that. And I'm like, really? You know, so I was set up to fail at an early age, okay? So my mom says, Timmy, my, you know, I'm the youngest of 5 children in an Irish Catholic family. And we all know this. Anybody here the youngest? When mom and dad got it right, they quit having kids, right? So this is why I try and convince everybody at our holidays, and nobody's buying it. I have bruises because of it, but I'll, you know, I'm a little anemic. It's okay. But she says, Timmy, just think, if you had no 7-footers, and I'm like, Mom, I take 2 6-footers that could actually play. I mean, I just need players. It doesn't matter how tall they are. So sure enough, the one guy, he breaks his foot, the good dude, 14 games into the year, at which that time we're like 8-6, and six and four, and we win one more game the rest of the year. And then the other cat, who knows, I think he broke his foot too, but he was no good. And then the Lakers signed him 2 years ago. And I called the Lakers and I said, frisk him. Just frisk him, okay? Don't let him in the locker room until you frisk him. So anyhow, that was the start to my Division I career. And so it's gone great. So anything you read in the paper, do not believe, right? You got to hear it or see it. And, you know, it's been a blessing for me to come to Nebraska. And really, it's the first job that I've had, you know, and I've been an NAIA coach. You know, I've been a Division II coach, NCAA Division II. So basically, I've had like the Peru job, Peru State, Shadron. I got Kearney, you know, and then I got Omaha as a Division I independent. And then I got Creighton when they were in the Missouri Valley, and then I got the Husker job. So I've kind of covered the state. We just call them different names. And, you know, I took the Mayville State job, which is nice if you like living above the Arctic Circle. It was 8 miles above the Arctic Circle. So everybody was worried about me. I said, I want to get to all 50 states and all 7 continents. They're worried about Antarctica. And I'm like, this is nothing. I lived in Mayville, you know, right there by Grand Forks. The 3 coldest places in the world are Minot, Mayville, and Grand Forks. And but think of the basketball coaches now that have been up there. Currently, Ben Jacobson's a Mayville kid who's at Northern Iowa, has had great success. I coached there. Lute Olson was born in Mayville. Dale Brown was born in Minot, right up the same 70 miles just to the west. And Phil Jackson, of course, went to North Dakota, grew up in Williston, North Dakota, went to the University of North Dakota in Grand Forks. He was coached by Chuck Daly. Bill Fitch, who was head coach of the Celtics for a long time, Casey Jones, who was head coach of the Celtics for a long time, and the Lauren Roberts, who also coached the Celtics. So there's been a lot of really good coaching up in that little corner of the state of North Dakota where it's, you know, the old trick where they have blonde hair and blue ears. But you fit that perfect, my man, right there. Yeah, that's a Wisconsin in you. Wisconsin. Let's get a Polish and a old style. We'll have a heck of a time at Oktoberfest. I'm the only person at that table that went to Oktoberfest and did not get arrested. Now, of course, their record's clean by now, so I can't prove it, but I can feel in my bones. And that's the way. I've been around criminals. I just explained it for a half hour. So I know them when I see them. So, sorry, I couldn't resist. You guys started it with the pick on Tim thing, right? Where were we? You know, I've been busy. I had to hire coaches for 5 years straight. First of all, nobody ever, like, it looks like I can't keep an assistant, right? That's what it looks like to me in the media. You guys are wrong. I don't want them, right? I'm just a bad hirer. I just do a miserable job of hiring. I have no idea how to flesh out the truth until I get them. Then I make life so bad on them, they just bail. So joke's on you, really. All right? Joke's on you. And my boss kind of likes it because in the time that we don't have an assistant, we're saving all boatloads of cash that the football team is readily spending. So so we're going to get old Mike Riley up and running, you know, giving him a helping hand, doing what I can. Right? Doing what I can. I offered to be the D-backs coach, but he didn't see it in me. So, like, come on, man. So, I played nine-man football at Doe, and I don't get that in Nebraska, by the way. Eight-man. Eight. That's so stupid. Eight. That's just the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. In South Dakota, we played nine-man. Right, so everybody's got 11 man, right? Like the four schools that have more than 2,000 people in their town, okay, in South Dakota. So they play 11 people on one side, right? And so we just take the tackles out, and we play the same game. You guys take the tackle in like any skill position, right? Well, why do that? Why have less skill in the game? It's already football, all right? Now, I'm just saying. On defense, we take out the safety. So here's the deal. Now, let's just talk about football for a second, all right? This is not a complicated deal, all right? In basketball, we are a high-transition sport. If you don't know what that means, I'll tell you, right, for you non-sports broadcasters. It means we go from offense to defense in a hurry all the time, 70 times a game in college basketball. We go offense to defense, offense to hockey does it, right? Soccer does it the same way, offense to defense, in a huge hurry. Volleyball tricks you. You know, they go the pass, the set, and then the old hit, right? The spike. Sometimes they dink, you know, that, oh, trick, you know. Oh, we got, you know, and they all jump. All right. They all do the jump, right? So, I mean, they trick you, right? Like, we're not going in the three order. We're going to do it in two. All right? How about that for you? And they usually do it pretty good, you know, and because nobody's like, oh. They did it in two, not three. Holy cow. So, I mean, I know there's complicated sports out there. And football is one of the most complicated. First of all, these coaches, man, I don't know how they do it. They meet all the time. They're meeting. They start every morning at 7 a.m. to meet, to find out when they're going to meet for the rest of the day. Like, what time are we meeting? Well, is this a meeting to find out when we're meeting? Now. Now, the meeting's now. No, not, the 8:30 meeting. Okay, yeah. We're going to talk offense, okay, at 8:30. Well, you need to talk about tackling, okay? We got the tackling meeting, too. So, but seriously, they go from offense to defense 10, 12 times a game, and what do they do when they go from offense to defense? I mean, they stop the game. They run 22 new cats out there. Whoa! We have the ball, and we're going to give them the ball, right? Get the punt team out here. Let's go. So 11 new guys run out there, right? It's a special team. This is a big deal. Special team, right? The defense, they don't like it either. They run 11 new people out there. They got their own special team, you know? They call it the punt return team, right? God knows if you fake it, You know, don't do that. Don't hike it to the guy up there a little closer. And now they do the one where they get two guys back there, kind of have nobody up there, and then they kick it like it's a rugby ball, and it just bounces and bounces and bounces like that, you know. It's not even any fun to watch. I want somebody smacked, like when their head goes like that happened my whole football career at Doland, right? Like literally the face mask broke and cut me like that. You had to be tough to be the quarterback at Doland. I averaged 9 sacks a game. They being any team that ever played against us for 3 years. So that was fun. But that's why I claim it's not the beer, it's the concussions that got me. But, I mean, football's so complicated, but it's not that big a deal. Let's just face it. We go from offense to defense in our sleep. We do it great, and they got special teams out there. So, I mean, if somebody could bring them up to speed, you know, like volleyball. You know, remember when they used to do the quick kick, too, in football? That was a big trick, right? How bad were you to do the quick kick? Like a third down and like, we can't handle this. Just kick it to them. Like, we don't want to play offense. Like, this is how bad we are. Actually, that's kind of what we were last year, you know? I give it to Pettaway, he quick kicked that thing right away. He'd kick it out of bounds, shoot it, whatever. He's going to be in the NBA in a month, so that's how good I coach. Yeah. I can't even figure him out, you know? I mean, like I say, coaching basketball is a tough deal for an elementary ed guy, but at the same time, it's not nearly as tough as some of these other sports, so I'm very lucky. And I just want to tell you that, A, here's what we're trying to do with our team, all right? Okay, so the jokes are over now. Well, maybe. We'll see. One is, you know, I want our guys and our players to have a genuine appreciation for being part of Nebraska athletics. That there's really no place like Nebraska, and I mean that wholeheartedly. The fan support, I mean, we keep selling this place out, and we're not even selling the beer yet, like the boys in town, yet. You know, we start, you know, stinking it up another year, they're going to sell plenty of beer. And as long as they don't give me any at halftime, who knows what we'll tweet then. I was kidding, Sean, if you're listening. Oh, he's in Dubai. Don't worry about it. Oh, you can get it on, like, an app now. Never mind. Sean, I was kidding. So, but at the same time, you know, I want our guys to truly appreciate everybody involved with our program. Fans, the academic people, the janitors, their teammates, their coaches, certainly everybody. I think that you've got to have that, and you've got to stress that with these young people. Second of all, I want our guys to just have great relationships. Work at the relationship part. One of the things we have a little deal, and it says attitude. How can I be a better player today? Just ask yourself, prepare yourself for being a better player today. I want today's version to be better than yesterday's version, right? And how can I be a better teammate today? How can I pick somebody else? You know, we're around the offices all the time. So there's salespeople, there's management people, there's people, you know, broadcasters, a little bit of everything, right? And, you know, you can tell when people are having a bad day. Are you a good teammate? Do you pick them up? Do you help them out? If you just ask you, how can I be a better, you know, player today, better teammate today? How can I be a better employee? How can I be a better, you know, colleague today? I think every job would have a better atmosphere. Every job environment would be really good. So I, you know, I told my wife, I got this attitude thing. I got it nailed, right? I said, here it is. Better, you know, I'm going to be better today, and I'm going to be a better teammate, you know, and all that. She's like, why don't you try that at home? And I'm like, I'm like, this is strictly professional, okay? Like, let's just separate church and state here, okay, honey, for a second? Like, you know? So she got me, okay? She got me on that one. Good idea, you know, better dad, better husband. And she's right, you know? But I think every life would be better that way. And we want our guys to have that kind of attitude and that kind of camaraderie. And those kind of relationships. I think that's a, you know, this honest, forthright relationship thing. Because you get a lot of people that are very insincere with relationships. You know, they're really not that invested in the people they're working with. And what happens then, inevitably, contempt sets in one way or another. You know, a passive-aggressive attitude or silos, cliques, you know. And those aren't fun. Those are really tough to be around. And those are killers. They'll kill you in the workplace. They'll kill you in the locker room. They'll kill you on the floor. You have to meet those things head on when you see them. Bosses have to meet them, and we address them. We just say, you know, Billy, why don't you like Tommy? What is going on? You know, what is going on with you two? You know, I mean, and we try and flesh that out in the recruiting process. You know, to who we can depend on and who's a little bit of a selfish jerk. But it's tough, you know, it's tough. But I think honest relationships is really important. And that's a constant nurturing process. If there's something I didn't do last year, it was the bonding piece of our team. Every team's a new team. Every year's a new year. 2-3 guys change, whatever it might be, and it's tough stuff. Uh-oh, he's got a camera back there. I got to get my glasses up, right? Otherwise, I look like this, right? The queen bee. You know that chick. She's in the office. She knows everything about everybody. In real time. I don't know. You know her, right? Don't say her name out loud, for crying out loud. Because I tell you, if she's not here, she'll know it tomorrow when you get there. She'll just kind of give you a look like, hey, jerk. Sorry. We're not live, right? No. Where was I? Yeah. Be a good team, right? Be honest, right? Work hard at relationships. So, you know, you got this genuine appreciation, and then you've got these strong relationships. And we tell our guys, then we ask them a real confusing question, which, what are you about? You know, like, you know, basketball player. Some guy will say, Coach, I'm a basketball player. I'm a guy that wants my education. But, you know, you got to realize some of the guys, a lot of the guys I deal with, they're going to make their greatest amount of money that they'll ever make in their life the first 6 to 7 years they're out of college when they're completely unprepared for it. Nice timing. Good job. You know, basketball world, right? Football world, right? I mean, but we have all this international. We can take our game internationally. They can, you know, live abroad. It's a different cultural experience. And yet, you know, they've got all this money. And then they're going to come back and be a radio broadcast. So I'm just kidding. But it's true. You guys don't get paid enough. That's what I'm saying, right? So but what do you do, right? What do you do? And so, you know, these guys will say, you know, Coach, you know, some kid will say, I'm about winning. And I'll have the team there. I'm like, okay, see your 12 teammates right there? They're the jury. Prove it. Show me your behavior, that what you're about. Give me examples, specific examples of evidence that I can see and point out. Because you know what? Last game we played, you had 12 points on 13 shots and 4 turnovers and no assists, no steals, and 1 rebound. And we won. But there was only one guy acting like a wet blanket in the locker room, and that was you. So are you truly about winning, or are you about yourself? What are you about? What's your sense of purpose? What's the bigger idea here, right? My bigger idea is obviously I want that historic basketball team that's able to go to the NCAA and win and bring that home for people. And we surprised people a couple years ago. We got hot. We got to the NCAA. But we really weren't prepared for that. But that's good. You know, we hit it early enough that now these guys understand it better. They understand the rigors of what it takes. And I've got an exciting freshman class, a really exciting freshman class. You look at Glenn Watson's a really nice player. In fact, if we continue our recruiting, we've got one commit that we haven't signed yet. We're close to another. We have Anton Gill from Louisville sitting out. We could have 6 top 70 players in the country in our program next year, which would be the most that we've ever had. Of course, I've already told you how bad my coaching is, so who knows what's going to happen. So it could go a lot of different ways. And if I stay out of the way, we might go good. But you look at these young guys like Ed Murrow from Simeon Academy. Glenn Watson, who won a state championship at St. Joe's in Illinois. Those are 2 of the top 5 guys in Illinois. Next year we've got a guy committed that's one of the top 2 players in Illinois. We've got Michael Jacobson, who I think is a really nice player. Johnny Trueblood is walking on for us, who's a local guy. Jacob Hammond's a sophomore for us. I'm missing a freshman here. Jack McVay just came in from Australia, 6'8", 6'9", kid that does an excellent job. And we've got Siobhan Shields, Benny Parker back as senior leaders, our captains, and I think they're leading us down the right path. We've got a schedule I think that's terrific. We play at Creighton. Somebody asked me if I was going to grow my beard out till I beat Greg McDermott. I'm like, what do you want, Noah's Ark? The thing would be this long. Come on. So I'm working on it, though. And, you know, you look at things and you say, you know, we're at Creighton. We have Rhode Island, who's picked to be an NCAA team at home. We're at Villanova. We've got Miami at home, who won 23 last year. We play against Cincinnati, and then we'll play the winner of Tennessee and George Washington in the Barclays. We're in Thanksgiving. We're in New York City. So you should come join us. Come to the Macy's Parade. Oh, they're not a sponsor. Von Maur Parade. And like JCPenney and Von Maur, those are our two options, right? Not that I'm complaining. You know, I really think that our team's going to be strong and stronger than people make it out to be. Now, we're going to be short, and we're not going to be very smart. So don't sit in the first three rows without some added insurance. And don't expect a lot of, you know, like I say, you know, a lot of guys, I say, hey, what was your ACT? And they're like, oh, 18. I'm like, ooh, you only got me by one. So, you know, it's back when the test was harder. But you know, I like our team. I love our schedule. We're going to have great home games, obviously. You look at the Big Ten, I think it's probably going to be as strong as it was 2 years ago when it was best in the country and we ended up fourth. Last year was our down year. That's why we got 12th or whatever and two teams in the Final Four. That's a down year, by the way. Thank you very little. Good profession to pick, Tim. You know, and here's the other deal that I don't like. At least you didn't say it. Tim Miles' record is 300 and blah, 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 and he's lost 200 and blah, 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 right? And, you know, so they just put that record out, you know. Well, who are in sales here? Who's in sales? All right. Okay. So, I didn't know we were talking to all the salespeople. There are no broadcasters here. That's why we're laughing so hard. So, this is misrepresentation, again, of the media. These people, you can't trust them. If they're not paying you your bonus, man, run. So, anyhow. So, salespeople, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, record. Thank you very much. This is why practices go great. People are like, why do you need 9 assistants? Why? Okay? Right. I got 1 for offense, 1 for defense, 1 for general. All right. Just general topics, whatever it might be. 1 for Twitter, and then whatever. No, I'm kidding. But I do say my tweets at halftime to a guy who actually, I think some people think that, you know, we tweet at halftime. And some people think I actually run to my computer in the Devaney Center, knock it out quick, and then get my car, drive back, and just catch the second half. Hey! I mean, come on. All right? So, anyhow, where was I? Okay, I got it. Nope, I got it. So, you salespeople, right? They don't say, Jane. Hell, Jane was out for 3 days and didn't make a sale. You know, Jane hasn't sold anything for a month, do they? Like, that's not how Jane gets introduced. Right? Or Billy, God, he's got the one account they haven't paid in 3 years, you know? How much payment in kind can we take? He's got his whole lake house redone. Oh, that's the guy over there. Never mind, that's a PA guy. That was a bad joke, wasn't it? Get it? Sorry. Oh, too soon? I mean, I'm not rushing to judgment, so... you have to say inappropriate things or you're not getting asked back. You know, that's the deal. So, and you got Mike Riley. Like, see, normally you have Bo. He just say inappropriate things because that's what he's good at. But you got Mike Riley, who, you know, gosh. This is great. Love this team. We're going to be great. And that's him. So somebody's got to step up and be the, you know, black hat. So, So I got to wrap it up. Just got it. I'm the only guy in here with an Emmy, by the way. So I know what that means. This and this. But are there any questions you might have for our team? You know, we're trying to do the right things with them, and I like our group, and they should be a lot of fun. But do you guys have any questions about our season? Thank you very much. Appreciate your time today.
I told you. One more time, round of applause, Coach Tim Miles.
You've been listening to a special program on Noon Forum. We've heard a talk by Tim Miles, the head men's basketball coach at the University of Nebraska at Lincoln. Mr. Miles' remarks were given as the keynote address at the 81st Nebraska Broadcasters Association Convention. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Wednesday afternoon, August 12, 2015, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Jim Timm, President and Executive Director of the Nebraska Broadcasters Association, for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 500 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.